Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Not Another Teacher Podcast with me, Martin Malone.
And me, Poppy Gibson.
We're here to help you protect your mental and physical health so we can get you thriving both in and out of the classroom. Not bad. Episode 6.
Episode 6. But you know what? Every time when you introduce yourself, I think you're going to say, "and you," and then you never do. And that's why I always sound really startled. I always think you're going to go, "and you," but I guess that wouldn't make sense. But yeah, so if anyone listens back to the other episodes, which I highly encourage, you'll hear me sounding startled every single time. Oh, well. Well, we got over that hump.
Yeah, we're over it.
Actually, Martin, I'm glad you're here. I've got some research about jogging. I know you're into your fitness. Have you seen the thing in the news about the jogging?
No, what is it?
Okay, you'll like this one. So there was a study done in America, 10,000 participants. Okay, that is quite small, I guess, in the size of America, billions. But they surveyed 10,000 people and they found that the people who jog are angrier than people who don't jog. So basically they found that we should not jog. It makes us angry. And the recommendations from the research, if anyone's interested, jump online, you'll find it. Just search "jogging makes you angry" and you'll find the study. But they've basically said instead people should do things like yoga or Pilates, which will make you less angry and aggressive.
Yeah. Do you know what? I can see it and I can't. Like, I get the idea of yoga and Pilates because, like, they're calming, they're more soothing. But I think it's interesting with that one about, like, jogging making you angry. And I think the big thing is, like, that those people probably just didn't want to jog. Like, I don't like jogging. I don't like jogging, so I don't do it. But there will be people who like jogging. And I know people that like jogging and they will go jogging, they will go running and they will enjoy it. But I think the trouble is, unlike any other real exercise, like jogging is seen as like, oh, well, I can do this to burn fat. I can do this to lose weight. And it isn't. It's just a healthy activity like any other. And it's that side of it. Like, you've got a lot of people who jog who hate jogging. So, of course, they're going to get angry. They're going to get frustrated. They're going to get annoyed. Where, you know, if you did that study on cycling and you got a load of people who didn't like riding bikes, they'd feel angry then. And I think that's the big one. It's the idea of, like, you know, if you didn't like yoga, you wouldn't come out of it feeling relaxed. You'd come out of it probably feel a bit angry, a bit miffed, a bit upset that you'd spent an hour doing something that you didn't like.
Okay, so I mean, you're heckling the whole research design. I mean, I haven't read the whole thing. I've literally read the headline. But I guess what they're saying is that it's monotonous. But the reason I'm bringing it to you, so we all know teachers, we spend most of our time on our feet, like all day long. So I'm interested, maybe we can open up today, Martin, like with your amazing personal trainer hat on or trainers on, to think about what are some, I want to say, like, reasonable fitness things we can build into our week. Because honestly, I find, like, I come home from teaching and I just want to rest. I just want to put my feet up, get the TV remote, get my laptop. I don't really think about doing sport. And I know some teachers are amazing gym bunnies, but
yeah.
So maybe, can we talk about that today? Maybe some fitness stuff.
And do you know what? I think the biggest one, and I've probably spoke about this on loads of different times on the podcasts, but to me, everything when it comes to fitness and everything like that, it all comes down to, like, routine. And your routine, if you can get in a good one, fuels how everything's going to be. Now, when I was teaching, I was in a really good routine of going to the gym at 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock every night. Now, I'd train for an hour, and then the gym I was in had, like, a jacuzzi, like, hot tub. So then I'd go and chill in that for an hour as well. I used to go with my uncle and we'd both go there and then we'd chill and have a chat. And by the end, we got into kind of a social circle where there was about 4 or 5 people who were always in the hot tub at the same time. We'd be chatting, we'd be talking, and it'd be a good routine to be in. So it was a nice, I like lifting weights. So I enjoyed that. I liked spending time with my uncle, and we were in a good routine where then there was people chatting and talking all the time, and it was a good social experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can think of nothing worse than going at 7 o'clock at night. I go at 8:30 in the morning. But the reason for that is because my job is different now. Where I'm quite open and honest with everyone. I do not start work probably till most days till 12 o'clock. But I work most nights till 7, maybe 8. Now, the reason for that is because I'm working with teachers. We need to be chatting. We need to be talking. There is no point in me being at work, working at 9 o'clock when they're all in. So, you know, there's going to be no communication. If someone's got a problem and they're chatting, I want to be able to solve that problem a bit quicker and chat with them. Not they send me a message at 5 p.m. and then I send them a message at 9 a.m. the next morning and then they send it. It's not going to work properly. So I was very conscious of like, do you know what? I'm going to save myself first. I like to walk the gym now because I do like walking as well. I walk.
How long's that walk? What's that walk look like?
It's like 3 miles.
What?
Yeah. So I walk.
How long does that take?
An hour. It takes an hour to walk to the gym. Rain.
I'm glad I'm sitting down while we're recording this because what?
What? Do you know what though? I absolutely love it because it's my time for either learning by listening to podcasts, where I'll make some stuff for social media, where I'll just do all kind of stuff which I want to do where it's not, I don't feel like it's proper work. And I'll walk there, I'll enjoy myself, I'll go and train, and then I'll walk back. I'll generally, if I know someone's off, I'll call them and have a little chat with a friend or a family member and restore like mental well-being energy as well, emotional energy. And it's just a nice thing. And then when it comes to, I get back for about 11, I get all sorts. And then at 12, I'll properly start working. And I'll get all the kind of stuff done between, say, 12 and 3, which I need to get done. And then after that, it's a lot of like, you know, either jumping on Zoom calls with people or having chats and stuff like that. Now, because of that, like I just finished working at 7. If I was going to the gym then, it would feel like a big drag and a job.
Yeah, I hear you.
Where when I was teaching, I'd finish work at, you know, well, even though I wouldn't finish work at 3:30, we would finish school at 3:30. So after that, it'd be maybe a little bit more chilled where I was doing things at my own pace. I'd probably leave about 5. I'd get back home for about 5:30, 6:15. And I'd have that time to like mentally relax before I went to the gym later on. And to me, it's that, those routines. Now, it might not be that you're going to go to the gym every day. It might not be that you're going to go for a run or do exercise every day. But it's setting up those routines where maybe, you know, you were talking about then you feel dead on your feet at the end of the day and you just think, oh, I can't do it. Maybe it's going, okay, well, I know Tuesday is kind of my most relaxed day at work. I'm going to set myself a target of leaving at 3 right away. And then I'm going to give myself that time so either I can go to the gym straight away or I can have a bit of a break and go to the gym where I'm not going to be as exhausted and keep into little routines like that. That to me is the big one. Like everyone tries to go, I'm going to get fit and healthy and dive straight in without thinking about how they want their life to look. And that's the big one. I never wake up in the morning and think, oh my God, I've got to go to the gym because it's just a routine that I like to be in. And that's the big one, I think, with all of it. The more routine, the more structure and the more enjoyment you can get with it, the more you're going to stick with it. And that's why that thing about jogging, you know, where they're angrier because they find it monotonous and boring. Well, if you find something boring, you're not going to like it and you're not going to stick with it.
That's really interesting. And I love how you have reflected on where you need to have your kind of those fitness moments for you. How interesting you went from, you know, late night to early morning.
Yeah.
I guess, it's hard for teachers, isn't it? Because you do get home and you're so tired. But do you remember last time we were talking, remember on the last episode, you were saying how when you get home and you're tired, you should force yourself to go out.
Yeah.
I've actually started doing that on like my lunchtime slump. So when I work from home, I was like, I'm going to take Martin's advice. Like, so instead of like my slump where I normally just like eat loads of junk and like watch TV for half an hour, I've been taking my dog out and it makes such a difference. I mean, she's happy getting an extra walk a day instead of just two. But honestly, like I come back feeling refreshed, feeling invigorated. And so I wonder whether for teachers also to question, are there those pockets of time in the day where instead of sitting in the staff room for an hour, well, I mean, that's very rare, isn't it? Okay, sitting in the staff room for 20 minutes. Yeah, if you're allowed to leave the site, if it's possible to leave the site, if you're allowed to. But, you know, are you able to take a walk around the site or a trip off the site, off the school campus, just to like get that break? Because honestly, it's really working for me.
Yeah, and do you know what? There's a lot of teachers I work with who do that. Like, they will go out for a little stroll at, like, say, lunchtime. Maybe even it's just 10, 15 minutes. And even though, you know, again, when people are thinking about getting steps in, when they're thinking about training, when they're thinking about, like, their diet, often a lot of time it can be about, like, oh, I want to lose weight and that's the only reason they'll do it. But, like, that 10 minutes where you're walking around the block, say, isn't going to burn many calories. But what it does is, as you were saying there, it gives you back that little bit of energy. But what else it does is it makes you kind of separate your day a bit. So I think once you're in that school bubble for the day, if you're feeling stressed at some point, it's just going to carry on throughout the whole day.
Mm-hmm,
you're going to feel super stressed. You're going to feel super tired. Where if you go out and you go on a little walk around the block, you're in a different environment, you're in a different setting, your brain's kind of working in the background a little bit, and you'll start to feel that little bit better. And I know all the teachers who I work with who do it, like they say that the afternoon is so much easier because one, they've got more energy, two, any stresses from the morning are gone, but three as well. While they're on the walk, they're not there thinking, okay, what am I going to do and what am I going to do? But naturally, just in the background of the mind while they're thinking about something else, they are thinking about what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. Although you've actually reminded me, okay, I can't believe I'm going to tell you this, but I've actually got a horror story of when I did leave school. I think that's why I said, if you're allowed. Okay, right, I'm going to tell you the story. So I won't name the school, but a few years ago when I was a primary school teacher, I was in that pattern of lunchtime, either marking in my class or being stuck in the staff room. And then, you know, you end up caught in a conversation that sucks your whole space and your free time, you know, chatting to someone when you actually just need space. And so my friend Katie and I, she was another teacher at the school. We were working in London, like, you know, loads of like on a lovely high street with like boutique cafes. And we were like, let's go get an afternoon tea. We were like, look, we're not on duty. Let's just go out. And so we went out. I can't believe like we went out. It felt like naughty. Like it felt like we should sneak because it was lunchtime. You know, the kids were fine. The kids were in the playground and we were like, look, let's just go and eat some cake and, you know, be ourselves instead of being Miss. So we went in, we got this afternoon tea. It was wonderful. We noticed, okay, this was probably the red flag. We noticed while we were eating the afternoon tea and looking out the window that it was starting to rain. So we thought, oh, you know, finished our lunch, we're like, let's go back. As we went back, we got absolutely yelled at because everyone was like, where were you guys? It's raining, it's wet, play now. Someone's had to supervise your class because you were not here. And like I felt like a child being scolded. We were like we didn't know there's going to be this crazy freak downpour. And like to that day after that, I don't think I ever left
at lunchtime. It's unusual for teachers to have to do it at lunchtime anyway, isn't it?
It was crazy. And I just remember like we were like, we didn't know it was gonna rain and we were just having lunch. But I mean, I guess the moral of the story is do go out from school if you've not got duties, but just let people know where you are. I think that was what, I think if we had told them we're going out for lunch, like they would have not, I think they were like searching the school, you know, with like a pack of dogs and flashlights, like, where are they?
Yeah, but, maybe definitely like give them a heads up and stuff like that.
But yeah, like you're not a prisoner. You know, could you take that, like you say, your clients like take that 10-15 minute walk, or even just if there's a bench like outside your school, is there a park nearby? Could you take your lunch to that park? Like,
yeah.
It just gives you that mental space, because I know when I'm teaching now adults, I'm just talking, listening for hours. And So what I love, where I find my peace now, like my mental peace, is quiet. Like just walking my dog with quiet, or sitting on a bench. Yeah. With a coffee, like, because when we're teaching, we are just constantly either producing verbal content or absorbing verbal content from others, and that is just on your mind. Like, so we talk at uni a lot about cognitive load, and we talk about cognitive overload. We talk about it in PowerPoint slides. You know, if someone shows you a PowerPoint and there's a million things on a slide, we talk about this being cognitive overload. It's too much, like, strip it back. And it's the same with conversations, like, strip it back. But when you're a teacher, you can't always. And so you do get that cognitive overload. So if you can take that 10-minute break out of the day to go and get some space, like, I highly recommend.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best things you can do. I think it's one of the best things you can do. And it just resets the day.
And I think what is, like, Martin, what's your main resetting thing then? Is it like a physical health thing or a mental health thing? Like, where do you really find that peace and calm in a busy week?
I think it depends on what you've got to do. But to me, I think now it is very much like turning up for myself first. I think that's a big one for me right now, which is always interesting because it's different to when I was teaching. I think now my big one is like that I like to get up, walk to the gym, train, walk back, and then after that I know that I'm ready for the day, and it doesn't matter what comes up, like, I've saved myself first. When I was teaching, what I found interesting is, like, looking back on it, is I used to always take like a couple of minutes for me in the morning. I'd walk the dog, I'd feel relaxed and be ready that way. But I would very much have the opinion of, okay, go and do your work, but you need to leave by, you know, a certain time, by 5 o'clock. And then once you're home, you're done. Like, there's no work to do and you're going to save yourself then. And I think that's the big one. I think for me, how to do it is to give yourself that time. And I don't think many teachers do, because teaching, there's family commitments, there's everything else going on, and it's just, I think everyone needs that time during the week just to take for themselves.
That's
the big one, which teachers don't, because they'll give and they'll give and they'll give and they'll give and they'll give, and they'll not look at restoring their own energy.
Mm-hmm.
It can be as simple as going on a walk. It can be as simple as sitting in the garden with a cup of tea and just having 5 minutes to yourself. You just need something to restore yourself that way, I think, and it's important. And if you're doing that consistently, you're turning up for yourself, well, then you're going to be proud of the fact that you're doing stuff for yourself and you're not letting your boundaries sway in that way, and then you're going to feel better.
That's so interesting. It comes back to how we started this podcast by thinking jogging makes you angry, because I think we need to really reflect on things in our day that are making us angry, or where we're feeling we have to compromise. Because I guess with jogging, it's easy. If you're jogging and you're getting angry, like, do something else.
Yeah.
So what little bits can we do if we are feeling that dissatisfaction, I guess? And I love hearing, like, you're such a good role model, Martin, like, to hear how you have found that balance, like, to be so in tune with your needs is great. And I think you're right, as teachers, I mean, we know what our needs are, but we just can't always meet them, right?
Yeah. And to be fair, I think mine come from, and I think with mine, I was lucky and unlucky. Because, like, obviously we've talked about, like, the nightmare time I had in my first school. And I was only there 3 weeks. Well, I was technically six, but The last three were fine because he left me alone.
I'm just flagging people back to episode three, which I think was the Martin story, if you haven't listened.
but the thing with that was, I think that was so extreme. And for those 3 weeks, like I worked like a dog. And I mean I think I started work at 5 a.m. most days. I'd do an hour before I went in. I'd get into school for like 6:30. I'd work till then. I'd stay at school till 7 when it's shut. I was going back and I was doing 2 extra hours and it was never enough. And he wanted more and he wanted blood. He wanted every single drop you could give him. And I think that gave me the realization then when I left and went on supply of I need to be putting myself first because no one else is going to. And I think that's where that come. And then that after that, it's just like, well, now, like about what, 12, 13, 14 years, I think, of like putting myself first in that way.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think what's really important, if people don't have, because you've been really good at like knowing what you need, but I think we should also not be afraid to say to those around us what we need as well.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds selfish sometimes saying what we need, but I will definitely do that. Like, for example, you know, I've got 3 kids, like my husband will come home and, you know, I pick the kids up at 3 and I have them for like a 3-hour period. I make their dinner, do the homework, et cetera, et cetera. And then by the time he comes home, normally about 6:30, I'll just say, right, I need to go upstairs and just like read for 15 minutes or, you know, just chill out on my socials for 15 minutes because I've been so consumed. So it's just like, don't be afraid to speak out loud what you need, because then I used to get angry where, you know, he'll come home and then I'm still there, like not getting any space.
Yeah.
And the same at work, like don't be afraid, you know, if you're caught in that conversation at the photocopier and you really know you need to go back and like set up your science lesson, like don't be afraid to say, oh, I would love to talk about this, but I do have to go. Like, don't be afraid to stop things that are making you angry. Do you know what I mean? I think because we want to please other people. I remember the amount of times I've been sat in the staff room and I love talking to people, but I know I've got stuff to do and I don't really want to be there. I want to be sorting my stuff out. Have you ever had that feeling? Like, don't be afraid 100%. To just say, yeah, and just say, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm really loving talking to you, but I just need to go and sort my lesson out. Like, maybe we can catch up later. Like, don't be afraid to put your needs first when you have things that you need to do. But it's hard. It's hard to say it out loud, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. But I think it's like one of those things. The more you do it, the easier it is. And it's just that thing. And as I say, I think when I was doing it, I was always looking because of that nightmare experience, because it happened so extremely. But I think for a lot of teachers, it creeps on. Do you know, like it creeps and creeps and creeps until, you know, you almost don't realise these routines you're in.
Yeah.
You don't realise that you're not doing anything for yourself because it's just slowly worn away.
Maybe you just inspired me to think, like, maybe we need to, like, you know, we make to-do lists.
Yeah.
Like, to do, I need to send this email, I need to do this, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we need to also make like to do for me list, because I think that'd be a lot shorter. We need to actually think, what are you doing for you? Like, write it down and make sure you do it. Because we make these to do lists of chores, but how often do you make to do lists of self care bits and bobs or something that will nurture your soul? Like, I don't think I've ever made a list like that.
do you know what? Actually, I've got something very similar, which I share with all the people that work with me. And anyone who's like listening to this, if they just send me a message on Instagram, I'll send over a copy. But basically, it's like a timetable of your week.
Mm-hmm.
And there's on the side, there's bits that are split. So it's got, you know, schoolwork. So I class schoolwork as like, you know, teaching. Teaching, mark and planning. And then there's admin work where it's like your subject lead, staff meetings and anything else to do with school. And then there's stuff like your family time and like your own time where it's like enjoyment. And then it's like development time where you focus on something. Maybe it's going to the gym, maybe it's going on walks, maybe it's meal prep and stuff like that. and you can copy them over and put them in a weekly timetable just to kind of, you know, where you go, okay, that's kind of how my life is. And at the bottom, it will turn it into like a pie chart to show you how much of the time when you're awake you're spending on each part of your life.
That's so cool.
And also how many hours. And what's brilliant with that is the teachers that do it, who I work with, they like, every teacher knows that they work too much. Like all teachers say, you work too much. But I don't think a teacher could say how much they work. You know, like, it's just you do the jobs till they need to be done. But when you actually put it in a timetable and, you know, they'll go like, I'm doing like 65 hours. And then and then they're like, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not anymore. Like, they'll take stuff back and they'll go like, no, I'm not doing that. And don't get me wrong, if you're working 65 hours a week, you can't just click your fingers and go down to say 38. Like, that's not going to happen. But you can scale that back and maybe over a half term get to 60 and then get to 55 and then get to 45 and then get to 40 and keep going down till you're at a comfortable level. But it's that thing sometimes of, like, as you said, it's seeing it visually there. And if you're making a list of stuff, like stuff to do for yourself, it's just showing you, like, if you're, how often you're ticking there, how, and it's keeping it front of mind.
I love that. That sounds so good. And thank you for offering that up for people listening. So I guess if as well, we can see it quite simply then, thinking what is my to-do list, but what is my to-do for me list, right? Making a to-do for me list.
And I think there should be something on there every day. And I think, I personally think every day as well should start with just something for yourself. And like, I've actually shared this a few times on Instagram, on my stories and stuff like that. And my one I'll always do a picture of me walking or a picture of me in the gym, like of the gym while I'm in. And I'll be like, oh, have you started the morning with something for yourself? And I will get a lot of messages off people saying, oh, well, I don't have time to do that because I've got to be in school for then and I've got to be here. And I think the thing which everyone always gets wrong with it is, my thing is that I walk to the gym and train and I've got that thing. But before that, when I was teaching, my thing was walking the dog for 20 minutes. And even if you can't do a 20-minute dog walk or 20-minute walk around the block by yourself, even if you've just taken 5 minutes to sit in a quiet place and just have that little chill time for you. Because if you're getting up, you're rushing to get ready, you're out the door and everything's a bit of a panic, well, your day's going to already have started. Like we were talking about in the last podcast, like a little bit anxious, a little bit of anxiety is going to creep in, a little bit of worry. Where if you're having 5 minutes to reflect, just think about your day, just have a little bit of a chill, maybe pick a nice spot in the house or your garden where you're like, do you know what? This is my just me time spot. And then let it kind of evolve that way, because it's just going to center you before the start of the day.
I love that. That's so important. And I think particularly for teaching, where you end up feeling like almost like a machine, almost like this kind of, you know, educating machine. Actually, every time you pause and stop and really relish being human and just being, you're actually rehumanizing parts of yourself. You're kind of chipping away at that robot that you're becoming and just remembering the joy of life. Like when I say to my trainee teachers, you know, what makes you happy? They don't all say, oh, planning. Well, no, a couple do. They don't say, you know, oh, creating plans and that. What they say is listening to music, going for a walk, going to the beach, like going to the gym. So actually, where are you factoring in those human joys to counteract all the things we have to do as work? And we do have to do, you know, things as work. That's part of the job. But yeah, that, I think that's really important, isn't it? And like you say, it's going to be unique to us. So whereas you now walk 3 miles to the gym and go to the gym, walk 3 miles back, that's not what is going to serve everyone. So it's also thinking what is good for you? How does that look for you? What does your balance need to be? And it's going to be different for all of us. And I think it's back to the kind of thread we've had through all our episodes, actually, Martin, which is like, you just need to get to know you. And I feel like some of us are so busy when we don't quite know ourselves yet. And it is a learning journey to know yourself, just like you know anyone. Like, see yourself, just like when you're in a new relationship and and you're learning about them, it's the same for you. You're still learning about you. So just keep learning and keep checking in with what you need, right?
Oh, 100%. And that's the big one. And I think that's the trouble with teaching. Like, teaching becomes someone's life. And when it becomes their life, that's the problem, isn't it? It should be part of your life. It doesn't matter how much you've dreamed about being a teacher. It doesn't matter how much, like, you want to be a teacher. It should not be the only thing in your life and the only thing that comes from it. And as you said, it's about finding those joys. It's about thinking about yourself and discovering it. And that's the big bit.
Definitely. So back to what we said at the start. If something's making you angry, like jogging, exercises are available. If your routine's making you angry, other routines are available. Yeah. Like, we should never be in that angry space, because that can only ever have negative connotations. It's only going to have negative impact on us snapping when people talk to us, you know, us feeling unhappy with our choices. So you just need to keep checking in, really, and changing the things you can change, right?
Oh, 100%. And I think that's a good place to, like, wrap it all up and stuff like that. I think it's a good message for everyone. It's just,
yeah,
you never stuck in something. You just need to change those routines that to serve you better.
Definitely. Like, life is amazing. Life is amazing and magical. And if we're not finding those joys in it, then we're doing the universe a disservice. So we need to do better than that. We need to be happy. That's the main message of today.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll not wrap angry. It up there then. We'll do it. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed this. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.